Chapter 3. Jiang Cheng steps out of his room the next morning and nearly walks straight into Jin Zixuan, who must have gotten in even earlier this morning or sometime last night. He considers walking back inside. On one hand, his future brother-in-law is still alive, which is good because Ajia loves him and he's one half of what's needed to give him Jin Liying. On the other hand, he'd never really liked him that much before he married Ajia, and that opinion certainly isn't improved before breakfast. "I heard Wei Wuxian is back," he says, without greeting him or bowing or anything, to give the impression he's a civilized human being.
"I heard he broke Jin Zixun's wrist."
"Sorry you weren't here to see it?" he asks. Jin Zixuan's face tightens. Because the Jin will defend their people to their last breath. It would be an admirable quality if it didn't mean that quite so many rotting seeds stayed in the fruit of their sect, spreading their rot to all around them. "You're lucky that's all he broke. Jin Zixun insulted my siblings. He's the one that asked for the match. If my brother can defeat one of your honorable disciples without even using a sword or talismans or breaking a sweat, your clan has bigger problems to worry about." His lips are pressed together into a thin, disapproving line.
"It was an excessive use of force between allies."
"He swung his sword at his back to try to slice my brother in half. Wei Wuxian could have moved out of the way in time, but then Jin Zixun would have slung his own blade into his back." Jiang Cheng gives a slight, mocking bow. "You are most welcome for your cousin's unsevered spine." He expects Jin Zixuan's anger, but instead he's just staring at him, considering.
"You've changed, sect leader Jiang."
"Shit. Have I?" he asks, raising an eyebrow.
"Yes," he says. "You used to hide all your sharp edges because you were worried about who they'd hurt and about what people would think of them."
He's so taken aback that for a moment he's speechless with it. Had he been that transparent? Or had Jin Zixuan been that observant? He's not sure which option is more discomforting. "Yeah, well, look what that got me." It's true in both timelines. The spar happened in full view of a banquet hall full of people. There is nothing to twist or lie about. Your cousin acted rudely, and my brother put him in his place for me. He should know better than to address the sect leader of a major clan that way. Doubly so when that clan leader is me. Sparks of lightning dance up his arm. Jin Zixuan is smiling at him, which makes him feel itchy all over. Fuck, but he pisses him off. It's too bad that Ajia loves him and he's going to give Jiang Cheng his beloved brat of a nephew. He bows, exactly as formal as an outside disciple should to a clan leader.
"I will, of course, take to heart the wisdom of such an experienced and impartial clan leader."
Jiang Cheng feels a spark of genuine amusement that he viciously shoves down. No need to start getting fond of the asshole now. "Oh, fuck off," he snarls as he stalks past him, knocking his shoulder into him. He doesn't linger to check, but he thinks Jin Zixuan might be laughing. Lan Zixun arrives at nearly midday, and Nie Mingtui calls a meeting immediately. Which would be fine, except everyone's there and Jiang Cheng is still running around looking for his useless excuse of a brother. He can't remember if Wei Wuxian attended this meeting last time. He'd skipped so many of them that they all blur together in his memory. Times when Jiang Cheng felt uncertain and alone, having to make the sort of decisions he thought he wouldn't have to make for decades, and facing people who didn't particularly like him, and all he'd wanted was his big brother at his side. Well, Jiang Cheng isn't that scared kid. Still, Wei Wuxian should be here for this. Ajie! He shouts across the courtyard to where his sister is sitting and reading. She startles and looks up at him, head tilted to the side. Zhu Jun is here and the Red Blade Master called a meeting. Find our brother and get him there. He can at least use formal names when he's shouting across their host's home. Ajie nods and then makes a shooing gesture with her hands, far too dignified to yell at him across the courtyard. And he grins at her before turning and heading back to the meeting. Because the miracle of last night was too good to last, Jiang Cheng has barely stepped into the room when Jin Zixun opens his fat mouth. Really? Isn't it arrogant of Wei Wuxian to keep us waiting like this? Of course, we are all grateful that he killed Wen Chao, but we have waited so long and still he's not here. Does he truly consider himself so far above us? The room in the air shifts, everyone glancing at one another. Jiang Cheng looks at Jin Zixuan, but all he gets back is a smooth, empty face. Ah, yes, this is why he'd hated him. How's your wrist? Jiang Cheng asks Jin Zixun. He can see the splint keeping it in place. Even with spiritual energy, it will take a few days to heal. He flushes and opens his mouth to answer, but Jiang Cheng doesn't let him, turning away from him to address the Nie and Lan brothers. I've sent my sister to go find Wei Wuxian. Thank you all for waiting, but we may begin. I'll fill him in on anything he misses. You don't even know where he is? Jin Zixun presses, derisive and pitying in equal measure. When he was younger, this type of basic manipulation worked on him. Now it's almost amusing. Do you know where every Jin disciple is at all times? I would know where my brother is. He returns, and the indulgent tone he uses to say brother, as if that's not exactly what Wei Wuxian is, makes Jiang Cheng want to cut out his tongue. Oh, he says, soft and deadly and just like his mother. How strange. I'm certain that Jin Zixuan doesn't know where all his brothers are. There's a ripple around the room, even as Jin Zixuan's face goes tight and uncomfortable. His father's womanizing reputation and all the bastards he'd sired is a sore spot, a blight on the Jin's shining upright reputation. Jiang Cheng doesn't let himself feel sorry for him. If he hadn't wanted to become a target, he should have done something about his cousin. Jiang Cheng had warned him, after all. Why, you! All in defense of Wei Wuxian, the son of... Zhe Jian is sparking up his arm, but it's unnecessary. Jin Zixun's mouth seals itself shut, muffled sounds making their way out, but no actual words. They all turn towards Lan Wangji, who hasn't moved in the slightest and isn't looking at any of them. Lan Zixun raises an eyebrow. Wangji... Lan Wangji only blinks, as if his brother hasn't said anything at all. He couldn't get away with it if he'd cast that spell on anyone else. But he is the honorable second Jade of Lan, and Jin Zixun is the only one here who's neither a sect leader nor the heir to a sect leader. Perhaps we can start the meeting? Nie Huaisang says, peeking at them over his fan. He glances at his brother after, like he isn't sure he should have said anything at all. But Nie Mingtui only nods and gestures to the map. Jin Zixun shoots angry glares at them all until the silencing spell runs out, but mercifully keeps from saying anything else that makes Jiang Cheng want to whip him. As they talk, memories are coming back. This had been an important meeting, the one where the four major clans had decided to make their last stand against the Wens. Which means, as the meeting is wrapping up, he's only a little bit surprised when the doors open and Wei Wuxian steps inside, just as they're discussing the awful destructive power of the Yin Iron. This part Jiang Cheng remembers. What he hadn't remembers is the smell of sulfur hanging around his brother. But then again, he hadn't known what it meant the first time around, Not this early on. There are ways to counteract its effects. In a month, we won't have to worry about the yin iron anymore. Wei Wuxian announces, like that's a reasonable thing to say. The first time he'd been so horrified he'd only been able to stare. But this time he struggles to keep from rolling his eyes. He slaps Wei Wuxian upside the head and almost smiles when he clutches his head as if Jiang Cheng has split it open, giving him a look of exaggerated betrayal that had been a staple of their childhood. You go missing. Make me and Ajia run around looking for you. You miss most of a very important meeting and then show up just to say improbable things. Were you waiting outside for a good moment to jump in? His brother blinks at him, taken aback, but some of the sourness left by using demonic cultivation has receded. Only a few minutes. If I didn't have anything to say, I was just going to wait until it was over. Jiang Cheng smacks him in the back of the knees with Sandu, and Wei Wuxian jumps away, effectively ruining the last of the intimidating, othering aura he'd entered with. He'd been so worried about seeming like a mature, responsible adult the first time around. But this time he knows they're all kids. And it's important none of them forget it. It's important none of them forget that his brother is a person. Don't be so rude to our hosts. Do you even have a plan for your crazy proclamation? He already knows he does, but everyone else doesn't. Shit like this is why everyone was so eager to turn on his brother. Yes, he says. I always have a plan. He tries very hard not to look as skeptical as he feels, because that's probably not good for his brother's reputation either. But judging by how Nie Huaisang is hiding his whole face behind his fan, he's not that successful. I have a plan, Wei Wuxian says, seriously this time. Jiang Cheng gives him a moment, then asks, are you going to tell us what it is? Wei Wuxian hesitates, then shakes his head. He can already see Jin Xixin opening his mouth, and it's not like anyone looks pleased with the answer. Is it going to work? Do you swear on my life it'll work? He doesn't ask Wei Wuxian to swear on his own life because he's aware his brother doesn't value it all that much. I swear, he says, still serious. He reaches up to his belt, like he's about to put his hand on Sui Bian. But of course, there's nothing there. He lowers his hand. Jiang Cheng would hug him if they weren't in front of so many people. How had anyone ever been afraid of his brother when he looked like this? He looks like Jin Liang does before he starts crying. Young Master Wei, Lan Xichen says quietly, why aren't you carrying your sword? He's not using it right now, Jiang Cheng says before his brother can do more than flinch. Lan Xichen still looks uncertain, but when he turns to Lan Wangji, Jiang Cheng doesn't see his face shift at all, but something must happen because Lan Xichen's shoulders relax, and he says, I see. If that's all, Wei Wuxian says, giving a slight bow before backing out and leaving the room. Jiang Cheng debates staying to make sure they don't start talking shit about his brother, but this room is full of more allies than enemies, so he just sighs and says, exasperated, elder brothers are so troublesome, before shrugging and hurrying after Wei Wuxian. Nie Huaisang laughs, and he thinks Lan Wangji might even smile. He barely hears Nie Mingjue demand, what's that supposed to mean? Before shutting the door behind him. Wei Wuxian can walk pretty quickly on his skinny legs, and he has to break into a very undignified run to catch up with him. Wei Wuxian, what was that about? He pauses, blinking like he hadn't expected Jiang Cheng to go after him, which is ridiculous, because he always went after him. Well, until he hadn't, couldn't, until he'd had responsibilities that kept him from trailing after his irritating big brother. What about? He rolls his eyes, falling in step with him as they walk around the unclean realm. You know, all of that. Where were you this morning? Did something happen? I just went for a walk, he says dismissively. You handled it fine. You didn't need me. That's literally the stupidest thing Wei Wuxian has ever said, which is impressive considering the amount of idiotic things that are constantly falling out of his brother's mouth. He reaches out, grabbing onto his brother's flute as he comes to a halt. Wei Wuxian's eyes widen and he jerks it away, but Jiang Cheng keeps his grip, just stepping that much closer. He's not trying to take Cheng Qing away. He's just holding on to it. And Wei Wuxian's panic ebbs as he realizes it, that Jiang Cheng isn't trying to take it from him. I needed you there. If you need to be somewhere else, I'll... He pauses, pressing his mouth together. He doesn't want to guilt Wei Wuxian into coming to things with him. Not when one of those meetings with sneering, inconsiderate nobles could be the thing that makes him snap. But he also doesn't want to give his brother permission to leave him behind. I want you there, he says. It's easier when you're there. I never make anything easy, he says, a teasing note in his voice. But his eyes are wide and surprised. You know I'll just cause problems if I'm there. Maybe it wasn't just that Wei Wuxian had been dealing with the after effects of the war and the burial mounds and not having his golden core. Maybe he'd seen how everyone was filled with some mixture of fear and hatred and hadn't wanted to make things even more difficult with his presence. Fuck that. The amount of problems caused by his presence is nothing compared to the ones caused by his absence. I want you there, he repeats. Wei Wuxian is the first to look away, but he gives a single nod, and Jiang Cheng lets go of his flute. It takes him a moment to pull his hand back, for them to continue walking. The silence is comfortable, but Jiang Cheng isn't interested in letting it linger. Are you going to tell me what's really bothering you, or shall I guess? Has Lan Wangji not complimented your eyes today? You two are even more embarrassing than you were at Cloud Recesses. Jiang Cheng! He shouts, face turning a hilarious shade of red. He reaches into something very basic about himself, almost forgotten, but deeply ingrained. He reaches out, yanks on the end of Wei Wuxian's ponytail, then goes running. There's a moment where nothing happens, and he's worried he's just made a fool of himself. But then Wei Wuxian gives a disbelieving laugh and chases after him. It's a good thing he has a lot of practice moving around in the formal, layered robes of a sect leader. Wei Wuxian is fast gaining ground, and it's not like he'd been able to outrun him before his brother had spent 3 months testing his speed against fierce corpses and all other manner of things trying to kill him. Luckily, he's had a head start. And he sees his salvation up ahead. Adieu! He shouts, and his sister turns to face him. He only has a moment to see her face creased in distress and worry before he's ducking behind her, grabbing her shoulders and spinning her around to face Wei Wuxian like when they were children. He barely notices Lan Wangji standing there, too busy using their elder sister as a shield. But as soon as Wei Wuxian turns the corner, he stops short, mouth open before it pulls back into a smile. Lan Chan!
Wei Ying,
he returns. He doesn't sound angry exactly, but he doesn't seem happy either. He'd expected Achia to join in on their game, because she always does, but she feels tense under his hands. He lets her go, stepping back to stand next to Wei Wuxian, who's frowning as he looks between them. Sure, yeah, he says slowly. Did Lan Chan do something to upset you? It seems unlikely that he would have, considering he's been nothing but deferential to her so far. But they're both clearly upset, and there's no one else around. Achia shakes her head. No, Asian, of course not. I just asked him some questions about this morning. Wei Wuxian tenses next to him, his face going dark. What did he say?
Wei Ying,
Lan Wangji says softly, searching his face. Achia steps forward, grabbing onto his forearms.
Asian, please don't be angry with us.
Oh, that's clever. Wei Wuxian can never be angry at Achia, And by grouping herself in with Lan Wangji, she's making it so Wei Wuxian can't get mad at him either. Not without implying he's mad at her. "I'm not angry," he says, but pretty much everything about his posture and his tone says otherwise. Or, well, actually, he looks scared. Why does he look scared? Jiang Cheng looks around them as if there's some sort of explanation not tied to the group of people he's standing with. But there's nothing around them. His brother is still looking at Lan Wangji when he asks Ajia, "Did he tell you about the Yilin office?" She shakes her head. It's the truth, after all. "I did," Jiang Cheng says. Wei Wuxian turns to him, and the betrayal breaking across his face hurts to see. But he also doesn't understand it, and he has to. He's not going to be able to save his brother if he doesn't understand him. Or, well, I filled her in, at least. She'd already read the reports about it. He hadn't bothered last time, but after telling her about the burial mounds, it seemed like a silly thing to keep from her. That all those deaths were on their brother's hands. After all, he needs people on his side. People who love Wei Wuxian and will fight for him. Ajia has always been that person, and she'll be able to fight better with all the information he can give her. Wei Wuxian shakes his head, trying to step away, but Ajia doesn't let go of his arm. "Asian, it's okay. It doesn't bother me." "How can it not bother you?" he demands. And Jiang Cheng almost puts him in a headlock for snapping at their sister. But he's pale and his voice is shaking. He's pulling back against Ajia's grip, but she's not letting go and he won't make her. Lan Wangji's eyebrows dip together and he meets Jiang Cheng's eyes, just long enough to incline his head carefully and step away. He can't decide if he should be annoyed that Lan Wangji seems to only trust leaving Wei Wuxian to Ajia's care or consider it good sense. "This is war," she says, unwavering. And as much as they'd wanted to protect Ajia from all the terrible things of the world, it was still a bit of a wasted effort when she spent her days assisting as a medic. "And there are enemies. You did what you had to do." "I didn't have to do that," he says. "I wanted to do that. There's still people, and I did that to them anyway. I didn't care." She softens, stepping even closer to Wei Wuxian. "Oh, Asian, you care so much. You're not like them. It's not the same." He looks away, swallows, but doesn't say anything. "What's not the same?" he asks. Atia sighs.
"I found Asian on a cliff. He was watching the Nie disciples move the Wen prisoners."
"Ah, the Nie weren't as bad as the Jin, but they're not a merciful people, and they're in the middle of a war. He knows Wei Wuxian is going to want to help the Wens. He knows he's going to have to figure out some sort of way to help Wei Wuxian help the Wens, if he doesn't want this all to be for nothing. But now isn't the time for it. Trying to defend the Wens before the war is still won will just paint a target on all their backs." "They were whipping them," he says, his voice tight, "for falling down." "Oh, fuck." He sees his realization mirrored in Atia's face. He moves without thinking, getting close enough to press his hands to his brother's back, where he knows the scars of Madame Yu using Zijian on him are. Wei Wuxian flinches at the touch, but between him and Atia, there's nowhere for him to go. "You are not a monster for killing the Wens and Yilin," he says, and he barely recognizes his voice, furious and intent and so close to breaking. "You are not the same as soldiers whipping defenseless civilians, and those civilians are not you."
"If they deserve to be whipped, then maybe," he starts, and his eyes widen as his mouth snaps shut.
"They don't deserve to be whipped," Ajia says. He's glad their sister is handling this, because he can feel tears on his cheeks, and he just knows if he opens his mouth, it's going to come out as a sob.
"And neither did you. Mother never should have. I hate her for how she treated you and Ah Chung.
Ah Chia gasps, letting go of Hui Wuxian, only to cover her mouth with her hands. Jiang Cheng has never heard Ah Chia say she hates anyone. This is not a conversation they should be having in the middle of the unclean realm where anyone can overhear them. Come on, he says, grabbing both of his siblings' hands and dragging them to their rooms. They have to take several turns to avoid being seen, but the last thing they need is rumors of them all running around crying. He closes the door shut behind him, then turns around. Ah Chia and Wei Wuxian are both sitting on their knees and staring at the floor, on the edge of breaking for very different reasons. He sits next to them, and he doesn't know what to do. He doesn't know how to fix either of them. He doesn't even know how to fix himself. Before we came here, we went to the ancestral hall, and I told our parents I'd never forgive them for what they said to Wei Wuxian, he says into the silence. It's okay if you feel the same, Ah Chia.
It's not,
Wei Wuxian bursts out with, scrubbing a hand across his face.
It's okay, it's fine, Madame Yu was right anyway. You shouldn't be angry with her. It was my fault. Don't be mad at your mother.
Having to listen to his brother defend his mother, who'd been so needlessly cruel to him, is something he hadn't had to live through the first time around. It's like his chest is being torn apart.
You didn't, and it wasn't. How could you say that?
Atia's sob is the worst sound he's ever heard, right up there with her last gurgling breath in the middle of a battlefield. She flings herself at both of them, reaching out to pull them close enough so she can wrap her arms around them. She rises up on her knees so she can hook her chin over both their shoulders, even as they both hug her back around the waist.
I loved my mother, she says, low and fierce,
all the anger she tucks away tempered into something sharper, something that burns.
But I love you both so much, and she didn't, and I hated her for it.
She was cruel to you too, Jiang Cheng says, even if it feels like a betrayal to say it out loud. He never could have handled having this conversation the first time around. He was too raw, too close to it all. He can barely handle having it now. Ah Chia shrugs, holding them all tighter.
It didn't hurt as much when she was cruel to me. If I could have taken all of her harsh words and actions onto myself, I would have. If I could have taken her whip for you, I would have. I love you, both of you. Do you understand? There's nothing that could make me love you any less. I don't know how. If I didn't know how to love you, I wouldn't know how to breathe.
It wasn't fair to Ah Chia how much their parents had relied on her, how much she'd had to take care of them. But she did it so well.
Shurqie,
Wei Wuxian whispers, and he can feel his brother shaking next to him. Jiang Cheng takes his hand, holding on tight, just like he had on the day their parents had sent them away from Lotus Pier.
Won't you call me Ah Chia now?
She asks.
Mother isn't here to stop you. It's not your fault, and it's not a good thing she's gone, but she is gone. You don't have to be afraid of her anymore.
I know, he says, but not exactly like he's agreeing with her. Between this conversation and whatever he got up to this morning, and the fact that he clearly hasn't gotten enough sleep, Wei Wuxian is exhausted. It only takes a few minutes of quiet before he's slumping into them, barely able to keep his eyes open. They carefully maneuver him to get him to lay down, curled up on his side and holding his flute to his chest with his head in Achia's lap. He looks almost peaceful like that.
Did he try and call you Achia?
He asks, keeping his voice low so he doesn't wake him. She nods, undoing Wei Wuxian's ponytail so she can run a careful hand through his hair.
It was when he first came to live with us. It's what you called me, so it's what he called me. I didn't mind. Mother overheard and threatened to feed him to a pack of wild dogs if she ever heard him call me that again.
Jiang Cheng's stomach rolls.
I don't mind remaining Shirche. It means something different between us. But I want him to know he can call me that if he wants to. That it's what I am.
They're all so fucked up in so many different ways that the idea that they could fix each other is laughable. But they don't have to figure it out now. For right now, he can sit with his sister and his brother who love him, who are still alive, and leave the rest of it. For now. When they leave for dinner, their clothing fixed and faces clean. Wei Wuxian is smiling. That night, he goes searching for Lan Wangji, and when he finds him, he's with Wei Wuxian. On a roof. How did he even get up there without his golden core? Does he have a talisman for it? Or did he just climb up there like a monkey with his bare hands? He can control his movement somewhat even without his golden core, but not well enough to easily jump on top of roofs. Jiang Cheng hadn't been super looking forward to this conversation to begin with, and this just makes it even worse. He jumps up on the roof. Lan Wangji is sitting in a perfectly respectable manner, while Wei Wuxian is spread out with a bottle of liquor in his hands, face tipped back as he looks up at the stars. Jiang Cheng is almost sorry to ruin this nice moment, except that Wei Wuxian is his older brother, so mostly he's delighted to ruin this nice moment. This is so gross. Can you not act like this? Are you going to braid each other's hair next and sing under the moonlight? Lan Wangji, you should know that my brother is a shit braider. That's why his hair is always so simple.
I like Wei Ying's hair,
Lan Wangji says, then blinks, like he can't believe he just said that. Jiang Cheng can't believe he said it either. He's going to throw up all over both of them. I'm gonna break your legs, Wei Wuxian threatens, but he hasn't even bothered to sit up, so he's not too worried. He's flushed, but Jiang Cheng doesn't know if it's from Lan Wangji or the alcohol. Gimme that, he says, taking the bottle out of his brother's hands and taking a sip himself. He winces as it goes down. This isn't even good.
You are just too delicate to appreciate it, he insists. Did you need me for something, or are you just here to bother me?
I don't see why I can't do both. He sighs, leaning back on his hands. I'm here on official sect leader business. Wei Wuxian sits up. You don't look like you're here on official sect leader business. He'd dump the rest of the alcohol on his brother if he didn't know that it would completely derail the rest of this conversation. Well, I was going to be formal about this, but then I found you two up here kissing, and it seems silly to try to bow to anyone now.
Weren't kissing,
Lan Wangji says, and holy shit, he's totally blushing. This is hilarious. Wei Wuxian rolls over, and Jiang Cheng tries to scramble away, but he's not fast enough. Wei Wuxian sits on him and pins his arm to his back at an uncomfortable angle. It's a good thing he doesn't give a shit what Lan Wangji thinks of him. You should be respectful of your elder brother. You shouldn't be kissing the second Jade of Lan up on roofs in the middle of the night, he retorts. And he's learned a couple of things in the past 20 years, so he flips them over, gets his arm back, and then has Wei Wuxian in a headlock. It only works because his brother lets it. And even still, Jiang Cheng feels his brother tense up against his side. He just messes up his ponytail before letting him go, taking a half step back in case he needs the space. He's pretty sure not touching his brother is only going to make sure whatever the hell is going on in his head worse. But he also knows that sometimes touching does make it worse. And since Wei Wuxian won't ever say anything about it, the only way he knows which is to pay attention. Which he's fucking terrible at.
He's been mostly guessing so far, and Wei Wuxian hasn't had a meltdown anywhere he can see, so he's assuming he hasn't fucked up too badly. Yet. Wei Wuxian is grinning as he sits back down, and if it looks a little forced, Jiang Cheng pretends not to notice. What are you here for? Do you need me for something?
I was actually looking for Lan Wangji, he admits. Maybe teasing him before asking him for a favor wasn't the best idea, except that he's pretty sure Lan Wangji wouldn't let anything get in the way of him helping his brother, even right now before he's completely fallen in love with him. Or maybe he's already in love with him. It's not like Jiang Cheng is privy to Lan Wangji's thoughts in any timeline.
Wei Wuxian said you had wanted to play for him and you thought it could help?
Hey, it's okay, I'm fine, Wei Wuxian insists.
They both ignore him.
I think it would help if I play cleansing,
he says, his dark eyes focused on Jiang Cheng. Just like before, Jiang Cheng can't read a single emotion on his face unless it comes to his brother. Then, Lan Wangji is just painfully obvious. He turns to Wei Wuxian.
I understand that your cultivation technique is not the same as other demonic cultivation techniques, but it is not without harm. I want to mitigate some of that harm.
Wei Wuxian has the same stubborn set to his mouth that he's had since he was a toddler. For a moment, he reminds him so painfully of Jin Liang, he can't breathe. But then it passes. He'll have his nephew back again one day. Hopefully. As your clan leader, I'm ordering you to let him help you, Jiang Cheng says. And as your little brother, I'm asking you to. He pretty much never refers to himself as a little brother, even though obviously Wei Wuxian is older than him. It completely disarms Wei Wuxian, a delighted smile curling around his lips before he snorts, tossing his head into the air and causing his lopsided ponytail to become even more of a disaster.
If it is for my beloved younger brother, Jiang Cheng, and the beautiful Han Guanjun, how can I refuse?
It takes every shred of patience Jiang Cheng has not to push him off the roof. When he eventually drags himself back to his room, leaving Wei Wuxian and Lan Wangji still sitting on the roof together, there's someone waiting for him. Zijian is already sparking to life before he recognizes that it's his sister, waiting for him alone in his room with only a single candle lit.
Ajia, is something wrong?
I think you should tell him, she says.
He truly has no idea what she's talking about. She smiles, patting the space next to her. This all feels uncomfortably like some sort of trap, but she's Ajia, so he goes anyway. She tucks his hair behind his ear and says,
I think you should tell Asian the real reason you ended up back at Lotus Pier.
For a moment, he forgets to breathe. It's been so long that he forgot that Ajian knew, that he told her the truth during those long 3 months of searching desperately for their brother. She's the only one he's ever told.
No,
he says automatically. He's never told him. Not before he died or after.
Ah, Cheng,
she sighs, taking his hand in between her own.
I know you don't want to. I understand why you don't want to. But I think it will help Asian a lot to know.
It'll make him feel so horribly guilty he'll go drown himself in the nearest body of water deeper than 2 inches, he says. He's already so... He stops himself. Just before he says broken. It's true, but Ajia already knows, and it doesn't help anyone to say it. She nods.
Yes, but didn't you hear him today? He thinks our love is conditional. He thinks it's something he can lose.
Shame bubbles up inside him, and he tamps it back down. Because there's no way he can explain to Ajia the way those words make bile rise in the back of his throat. He'd never stopped loving his brother. But fuck had it seemed like it. He'd stopped being loyal to him.
I think if you tell him what you did, maybe he won't be so worried about it.
He closes his eyes, taking in one breath, then two, and makes it to three before he bursts out with, Ajia, it's...
He can't finish the sentence. Shameful, embarrassing, hurtful. This is gonna hurt his brother to hear. He knows it will.
I know, Ajia says, calmly. And when she looks at him like that, soft and sure and her back straight, he believes it, that she knows him down to his bones and loves him just the same. Do it anyway.
His older sister is telling him to do something.
Okay.
How can he refuse? Jung Chung can't bring himself to do it the next morning, or the morning after that. Ajia doesn't push, but she does frown a little deeper, and he can't put this off forever. He can't even put this off much longer, because soon enough his brother is going to make himself scarce, and drawing him into any sort of serious conversation is not only going to be difficult, but will distract him from his work, which is the last thing he wants to do. They do need Wei Wuxian to win them the war, after all. The third morning, he goes to Wei Wuxian's room. Turning the corner, just in time to see Nie Mingtui step into his brother's room and close the door behind him. For one horrifying moment, he considers the idea that Wei Wuxian and Nie Mingtui have taken up with one another. But that idea is ridiculous. His brother hadn't been with anyone before, and he and Lan Wangji were even more nauseating to be around than last time. On the one hand, Lan Wangji's love for Wei Wuxian is something he's counting on, and if he can just keep them from misunderstanding each other, they'll probably get there that much faster. On the other hand, Lan Wangji has a history of taking his brother away from him, and Yang Cheng will tie him up with Zhu Jian and throw him off of Lotus Pier if he tries that crap this time around. He wants his brother happy and safe, but he also wants him home. He creeps forward, and eavesdropping is probably below his dignity as a sect leader, but definitely not below his dignity as Wei Wuxian's brother. Fine, really, Wei Wuxian says. There's a moment of silence, and Jiang Cheng really wishes he could see what was happening.
Hoi Song is worried about you.
Surely you have better things to focus on than what's worrying Nie Hoi Song. There's a bit of a war going on, he says, going for flippant, or maybe even teasing. Only Wei Wuxian would try and tease Nie Mingtui.
Would you have better things to do if something was worrying your younger brother?
He asks, still remarkably calm. What, is Nie Huizong scared of me? He says it like it's a joke, but it doesn't quite land that way. Jiang Cheng is already standing to interrupt, to throw the door open, when Nie Mingtui says,
He's scared for you, I think. Not that he'll tell me anything. There is a war on. I don't have spare time to devote to everything that worries my brother, even if I would like to. But I know you've been through something very difficult. The Nie clan knows what it's like to manage difficulty, and to try to manage it alone. There are ways we could help.
I'm not alone, he shouts, echoing the thoughts in Jiang Cheng's own head.
No, Nie Mingtui agrees. You're not. Think about what I've said. I know you've always looked out for Hoi Song, even though he's always getting you into trouble. I'll help you if I can.
Wei Wuxian laughs, but it comes out a little off, like he's using it to cover something else up. I was always the one getting him into trouble, remember?
Yeah, he says, dry. I know you both let everyone think that.
No matter what it looked like on the outside, it seemed like Nie Mingtui wasn't totally ignorant of his brother's intelligence, or void of human emotions. Jiang Cheng is almost certain that this conversation hadn't happened the first time around. It's good, because it's one more person looking out for his brother, even if it's one of the last people he'd expected. And because it'll make saving Nie Mingtui that much easier. As Nie Huaisang had explained it when they'd been planning all this out, the best way to save his brother and help the Nie sect was to destroy the ghost blade and the haunted blades of his ancestors that were cursed with generations of resentful energy. The only one who could do that was Wei Wuxian.
You seem to solve a lot of your problems by throwing my brother at them and waiting for him to fix it,
Jiang Cheng had said, more than a touch resentfully.
Doesn't everyone?
He'd returned, and Jiang Cheng hadn't answered him.
Wei Wuxian had struggled with the ghost blade before, freshly resurrected and with nothing to channel the massive resentful energy through but his own body, and he defeated it even then. But this time he'll be fresh. He'll know what he's getting himself into. He'll have the Stygian Tiger amulet. Or, well, that's what they're hoping, assuming Jiang Cheng can figure out some way to get Nie Mingtui to confide in Wei Wuxian, a family secret so protected that he hadn't even told Nie Huaisung about it until several years after the war.
Ah, Wei Wuxian says, bringing Jiang Cheng back to the here and now, where he's crouched outside of his brother's door and eavesdropping, like some sort of unscrupulous junior disciple.
Well, you don't have to answer me now. Just keep it in mind,
Nie Mingtui says. He hears his footsteps coming. He should run and hide. Instead, he stands up and crosses his arms. Nie Mingtui sees him as soon as he steps outside. He doesn't seem surprised. But then again, he never seems surprised. When he wants to, he has a poker face rivaling that of the Lan. He just inclines his head to Jiang Cheng, who smiles at him before he can think better of it. Nie Mingtui had hated Wei Wuxian last time. It had made everything more difficult. Had probably been one of the reasons Nie Huaisang had distanced himself from him, even though he'd obviously known the rumors weren't true. This is better. He steps inside his brother's room. He's already dressed, looking down at his Cheng Cheng, and doesn't even look up when Jiang Cheng clears his throat. He has deep bruises under his eyes, meaning he probably hasn't slept. Again. Maybe he should just wait to do this after all. Except he knows he'll keep putting it off forever, and Ajia will just keep frowning at him, which he hates.
Wei Wuxian.
His brother's head jerks up like he hadn't noticed him there. His smile only seems half-faked, at least.
Jiang Cheng, something wrong?
No, he says. Wei Wuxian quirks an eyebrow. Come on a walk with me. I want to talk to you about something.
His back instantly straightens, eyes going wary.
Can't we talk here?
I'm not going to yell at you, he says. Can't we just do this somewhere else, please?
Somewhere with less people. Somewhere that no one will come across or overhear them.
Something's bothering you,
Wei Wuxian says quietly. Jiang Cheng nods and shrugs at the same time, then crosses his arms over his chest.
Is someone being mean to you? Do you need me to beat them up?
Wei Wuxian,
he snaps, rolling his eyes. He grins, tucking his flute back into his belt.
Okay, okay, let's go for a walk.
Wei Wuxian leads the way, talking about little things, like how the food is good in the unclean realms, and the alcohol is strong, and how nice some of the Jin disciples are, which is so weird, because the Jin family was obnoxious, and it's a shame Yan Yan hadn't made it here yet, because she was the nicest of all of them, and it really didn't make sense why she and the peacock got along so well when he was so terrible. It's a steady stream of commentary that Jiang Cheng contributes almost nothing to, and Wei Wuxian clearly doesn't expect him to. He knows something has upset him, so he's trying to distract him from it. And it sort of works, but less because he finds his brother's chatter anything but annoying, and more because he's trying so hard. He realizes that letting Wei Wuxian lead the way was a mistake when they end up at the cliff's edge, probably the same place he'd gone when Achia had went looking for him.
Let's go somewhere else.
Wei Wuxian cuts himself off in the middle of a rant about Jin Sichuan, blinking.
Why? He clears his throat. It's high.
High? He repeats slowly. What? Are you afraid of heights now? He rolls his eyes.
No, of course not.
Maybe Wei Wuxian and heights, except
that's not right either. It's not like he has a problem when his brother is flying with him or sitting on rooftops. Just come here, will you? He starts walking backwards, towards the cliff's edge, a mocking smile around his mouth. What's a little height to worry about? Come on, the view's nice when it's not filled with whips. Come see. He's inches from the edge, and Jung Chung knows his brother knows exactly what he's doing, knows that he's not actually in any real danger, but knowing doesn't matter. Wei Wuxian! He shouts, and he doesn't realize he's moved until he's at the cliff's edge too, his hand clenched in the front of Wei Wuxian's robes as he yanks him away from the edge. Hey, he says softly, putting his hand over Jung Chung's. Hey, what's wrong? He tells himself to let go, that he's overreacting and this is ridiculous and he can't even explain why. He doesn't. Don't go so close to the edge. Okay, he says. I didn't realize. Okay, I won't. What's wrong? Jung Chung shakes his head, but he has to say something. It's not like his brother will just let this go without some sort of explanation. You don't have your sword. What if you fell? I'm not gonna fall, he says immediately. I'm not the clumsy one. He doesn't rise to the bait, even though he probably should. But what if you did fall? His brother sighs, trying to seem exasperated, but obviously still concerned. I, Wei Wuxian, promise I won't fall. Okay? Okay, he says. He's going to hold him to that. He forces himself to let go of his brother and take several steps back. Okay, I have to tell you something. I wasn't going to, but Ajia thinks I should, and I need you to just let me say it and not get upset or run away, and don't interrupt. Wei Wuxian looks even more worried than before, but he nods. Jung Chung paces because it helps, because if he doesn't move while he says this, he doesn't think he'll be able to say it at all. Because if he has to watch his brother's face as he says it, he knows he won't be able to finish. After our parents died, I didn't go back to Lotus Pier for their bodies while you were gone. I left the room at the inn. I just needed to breathe. But I was standing in a corner under an awning. I could see you. You'd gotten Ajia's medicine and you were buying us food, but the Wen soldiers were coming down the street. They were headed towards you, and you wouldn't be able to get away in time, and I knew you couldn't fight them off. You could barely fucking stand. So I stepped out of the awning. I let them notice me. I let them catch me so they wouldn't catch you. He risks a glance up. Wei Wuxian is paler than he's ever seen him, which is both worrying and impressive. They could have killed you. I'd assume they would, he answers honestly. You assumed, he starts, then takes a deep breath. You assumed, you, what about, he stops and comes forward, shoving Jung Chung in the chest hard enough that he stumbles back. He regains his balance just in time for Wei Wuxian to come forward and shove him again. You assumed? Why would you do that? Don't you have a brain? Didn't you think about your parents, about Shirchia? Jung Chung lets himself be pushed again. At least they're getting further away from the cliff's edge. Of course I did, he starts. You obviously didn't, Wei Wuxian shouts, cutting him off. And this is why Jung Chung had wanted to do this away from the Nie sect hall. How could you do something so stupid? I'd do it again, he says easily. You could have died! Wei Wuxian roars, like he hadn't heard him the first time. You almost did! You lost your golden core, all because you were stupid enough to let yourself get taken. And you do it again? What's wrong with you? Weren't you listening? Jung Chung snaps, finally pushing him back. They were coming for you! If I hadn't done something, they would have taken you. You'd just gotten whipped half to death. You would be dead. If they beat you like they beat me, it would have killed you. Wei Wuxian laughs, and it's a horrible sound. It reminds him of the Nightless City. So what? You think that's worth sacrificing your life? Jiang Cheng grabs the front of his brother's robes like he's going to try to shake some sense into him.
Don't fucking say that! Who the fuck do you think you are? You don't get to decide what I'm willing to sacrifice for you. I would die for you. Ajie would die for you.
Had died for him.
You're a brother. I've spent my whole life being defined by you.
Wei Wuxian flinches, but for once, Jiang Cheng doesn't mean it in a bad way.
I don't know who I am without you.
He'd had to find out who he was without him, without Ajie. He hadn't particularly liked the answer. But, he says, tears finally starting to spill over his eyes.
That was right after everything, and it was all my fault, and you were so angry at me. Why would you...
The destruction of Lotus Pier wasn't your fault, he says.
They would have found an excuse. Mom was the one who escalated it, who provoked her. And it doesn't matter how angry I was, there's no level of anger that stops you from being my brother. It doesn't work like that. Losing my golden core is the worst pain I've ever felt in my entire life. And even as it was happening, I was grateful that it was me and not you.
It's why finding out that Wei Wuxian had given him his golden core had hurt so much. That everything that had happened to Wei Wuxian had been because he didn't have a golden core. And it was because he'd given his away. Because Jiang Cheng had gotten captured. It's as if his sacrifice had been worthless. He tried so hard to keep his brother safe. And in the end, he'd caused so much of his pain. Of their pain. He knows that he's not being fair, that he hadn't asked Wei Wuxian to give him his golden core, that he hadn't made his brother lie and hide it from him, that so much of this could have been avoided if Wei Wuxian had told him what was going on, what was really wrong with him. But it had hurt to find out that the one time he thought he'd managed to save his brother, he'd damned him.
Jiang Cheng lets go of Wei Wuxian's robes, but only so he can grab his shoulders, so he can look him in the eyes.
You are my brother. There is nothing you can do to change that. There is nothing you can do that will make me love you any less.
Make loving him hurt, yes, but not make Jiang Cheng love him less. Wei Wuxian stares at him for a long, tense moment, and then he's reaching for him, burying his face in his shoulder and squeezing him so tightly he's almost worried his ribs will crack. He's shaking, and Jiang Cheng doesn't say anything about the damp spot on his shoulder or the tears covering his own face. It's the first time his brother has initiated a hug since he's come back.
Maybe they will be okay.